Chapter 9. "Are you sure this is the best idea?" I asked, somewhat suggestively, as Ashanti and I walked arm in arm down the shoreline. "Going for a walk in the middle of an island we're not familiar with, that we know is full of crazed goblins who want to kill us?"
"Draco Rex,"
Ashanti trailed off with a sigh.
"Let's drop the illusion here. You and I both know this has nothing to do with taking a walk."
I felt a rush of blood to my loins as the woman spoke, and I slowly realized just why she had wanted to get me alone. Still, I didn't want to jump to any crazy conclusions. Plus, it was always better to be a gentleman than a single-minded, sex-crazed maniac, so I wanted to err on the side of caution. "What are we out here for, then?" I continued. Ashanti stopped in her tracks, turned to me, and placed her hands on her hips as she stared deep into my eyes.
"I've been thinking about Batari and Zakiu a lot lately,"
the gray-skinned woman admitted.
"About what they have with you, how they will be the first Chero women to ever bear a child, and how important they will be to the survival of our race."
"They are pretty special. I know both of them will make excellent mothers, particularly Zakiu. She had that whole mother instinct going on with all the Muraks on her ranch."
"Maybe,"
Ashanti nodded.
"The reason I got you out here alone, Draco Rex, is because... well, I want to be the third."
"Really?" I mused as my heart seemed to halt in my chest. No offense, Ashanti, but I never would have pegged you as somebody to get baby fever."
"Why's that?"
The three-horned rhino woman scoffed as she crossed her arms.
"You don't think somebody with my sharp demeanor could be a mother?"
Not at all." I shook my head. I just assumed you and Rikuri would be the last two Chero women to desire a child. Since you're always talking about how much you love going on adventures and fighting, it's hard to do that when you've got a belly the size of a watermelon or when you have a baby on your back."
"It's worked for Nadir and Lazan so far, has it not?"
"Those two are something else, and we don't know if it's worked out for them yet or not. Sure, they were able to hang around with me while they were pregnant thanks to the thick armor Isla worked up for them, but I can already tell they're struggling with the whole baby on board thing."
"That shouldn't be an issue for me,"
the three-horned Chero woman mused.
"In the worst-case scenario, I could simply place the child atop Miramwa and then send him off to hide while I do battle. We Chero, thankfully, have the luxury of an already established babysitter."
"Man. Whew. I would have loved to be watched by a giant killer ant when I was a toddler. That would have been cool as shit."
"I sense a bit of sarcasm in your voice."
Ashanti raised an eyebrow. Not at all. It would have been frickin' awesome."
"No matter,"
the woman with the shaved head continued.
"Timbori has blessed two of my fellow Chero with a child, and I wish to receive his blessing as well."
"Is that what this is about? You think having a child is some sort of blessing of approval from your god, and that's why you want to have one?"
"Partially. You must understand, Draco Rex, how significant these children are going to be to our race. Not only will they be the first naturally born Chero children, but they're also the future of our people. Think about it. None of us know how long a Chero lifespan truly is, as we have all lived for hundreds of season cycles and have never had anyone die of natural causes. For all we know, every single Chero currently in existence could be at the end of their life cycle, with only weeks or a few moon cycles left. Of course, we could also have hundreds more season cycles left over, but that's not the point. These children will ensure our species survives beyond us, Draco Rex."
"I understand." I nodded. "I know how important it is that your race survives into the future, especially since repopulation is difficult in this world, mainly thanks to those orc bastards. Are you sure you're ready for motherhood, though? We know nothing about Chero children since there's never been one. For all we know, they could remain infants for hundreds of years, or season cycles. That's a really, really long commitment."
"Maybe,"
Ashanti admitted.
"Or maybe they could be like your dragonkin children and grow into adulthood in only a few season cycles. Honestly, it's somewhat fun to think about all the possibilities of what could happen, but I know Timbori will lead our people into prosperity no matter what occurs. I also know that should anything challenging happen, there will be a kind, loving, and resourceful father to help out."
"Oh?" I laughed as I raised an eyebrow. "And who might that be exactly?"
"Oh, don't play dumb, Draco Rex,"
Ashanti said as a smile crept up her mouth.
"It certainly isn't going to be Kaylon."
"Are you sure? Because maybe if he had the interest of an older woman, he'd actually stay away from Morella."
"Your daughter can handle herself. She has her father's resilience, and I'm sure our child will too."
"Our child? Is there something you're not telling me?" Because unless you snuck into my quarters and seduced me while I was asleep, I don't think that's possible.
I want to make it possible.
Ashanti purred.
Right now, while everyone else is still recovering from our goblin encounter.
Right now? I looked around nervously. Right here on the beach. I'm pretty sure all of our friends can still see us.
What's the matter? I thought you were anything but bashful.
There's a major difference between being confident in showing off my body and mating in front of all my crewmates. I'm all for free love and doing whatever floats your boat and all that, but that's a bit too far for even me.
If you insist.
Ashanti winked, and then she unwrapped herself from my arm. The Chero woman's hips sashayed to and fro as she sauntered toward the line of trees off to our right. And my eyes latched onto her firm, toned ass as she moved. When she got a few feet away from the forest, Ashanti glanced back over her shoulder, smiled seductively, and beckoned for me to follow her with her finger. I felt my pants tighten around my manhood as I watched the scene play out, and then I wasted no time in following her into the woods. A strong, soothing scent of pine filled my nostrils as we passed under the giant maroon trees and moved deeper into the forest. And after about 5 minutes of walking, Ashanti stopped and turned to face me.
Is this private enough?
She asked, as she placed her hands on her hips and popped them out to the right with the force of a locomotive. In that moment, all I could think about was Ashanti's hips grinding against my pelvis in sensual rhythmic motions. I knew my erection was growing to new levels of firmness, but at this point, I made no effort to hide it. I think so. As long as none of those ugly goblin bastards show up out of nowhere. Apparently, Ashanti noticed my excitement because her eyes widened as I spoke, and she looked down at the tent I'd pitched in my pants.
Well.
The three-horned rhino woman trailed off.
Batari and Zakiyu told us of your special gift, Draco Rex, but seeing it in person is something else.
You haven't seen it yet. We're both still fully clothed.
That'll need to change, though.
Ashanti growled as she bit her lip.
There is something I must do first, though.
I watched as the rhino woman walked over to a nearby rock, reached down, and opened up the tiny pouch that hung from her belt. From the pouch, Ashanti pulled out a small figure only about 6 or 7 inches tall and crudely carved out of stone. Though it may have been somewhat amorphous in shape, I recognized its form instantly, with its elongated snout and the tusks that jutted up through the sides of its mouth. Is that Guruai? I asked the Chero woman as she set the figure onto the stone.
Very good, Draco Rex,
Ashanti mused.
I'm surprised you know of our gods at all, especially when I'm sure you have to keep track of the deities of all your women.
That's nothing. Do you have any idea how many religions there are back from where I'm from? A whole lot. Also, it's hard to forget the goddess whose image was plastered all around the fertility hut.
Batari begged us all to take an effigy before we left.
The Chero woman continued.
She told us it would put us in good graces with Guruai and bring us fertility should we ever wish to bear a child.
So, your goddess of fertility likes to watch, eh? I joked and pointed at the statue. That's kind of messed up.
I don't make the rules.
Ashanti shrugged. The Chero woman looked all around until her eyes shone bright with excitement. She then strutted over to a nearby fallen tree, bent her front end down against it, and stuck her perfect ass up into the air. Holy shit, I muttered to myself as I watched her slip her thumbs into her waistband. Ashanti then proceeded to pull down the small leather loincloth that draped around her lower half. And as the fabric fell away, I was greeted with the glorious sight of her small, rounded ass and the beautiful velvety lips of her pussy, which was already moist with arousal. At this point, my cock was practically threatening to rip a hole through my pants, and I didn't want to waste another second. Wow, I whispered as I walked over to Ashanti and rubbed her ass tenderly. It looks like you've got a special gift, too.
You'll just have to find out for yourself. You'll be the first and only person to experience this gift, so you'll have to let me know how it is.
Oh, gladly, I growled as I fumbled with my waistband. My pants slid off without much resistance, and my erection sprang up like a cartoon spring the second it was free. I tossed my pants to the side as I removed my cream-colored shirt, and then I proceeded to place one hand around Ashanti's waist and the other on my dick. My manhood was throbbing intensely as I pressed its head against the beautiful woman's labia, and Ashanti let out a gasp when it touched her.
God,
she purred as she looked back over her shoulder.
It feels so big against me. I don't know how it's all going to fit inside me.
I'll go slow. I know this is the first time you've ever done something like this.
We had practice tools back on our island, but nothing... nothing like that. Your head feels like it's as big as my fist.
Oh, not quite. That would be a whole different type of lovemaking. Are you ready? Ashanti bit her lip and nodded, though her eyes were wide and her eyebrows were raised. I could tell she was very nervous, so I wanted to do everything I could to make this go smoothly. I placed my free hand against the small of her back, took a deep breath, and then began to push into her velvet tunnel. Both of us let out a deep, satisfied groan as I entered her. Ashanti's pussy seemed to fit me like a glove. It was soft like silk around my erection, and the texture inside wrapped my dick in its warm, wet embrace. "Oh, holy fuck," I moaned. "Oh, this feels like fucking heaven on earth." I ran my hand along Ashanti's back slowly as I continued pushing into her, and I got about halfway inside when the woman's lip began to quiver before her mouth fell open in a silent plea.
Draco Rex, is it all the way in yet?
Not even close. You want me to go in more?
Yes.
Ashanti gasped without hesitation.
I want to take it all, my king.
For some reason, hearing Ashanti call me her king turned me on like no other, and my erection grew even harder. I continued to push slowly into the Chera woman until I felt the head of my penis touch her cervix, and then I let out a long, guttural groan.
You're so fucking tight. Now comes the fun part.
I moved my right hand down to Ashanti's right hip, so I had her completely around the waist, and then I got to work. I slowly pulled my cock about halfway out of her pussy before I glided back in like a skater on a sheet of ice. Ashanti's womanhood spasmed with each thrust I made, and her body tensed up when I hit her cervix once more.
How is feeling this good even possible?
Oh, I don't know.
I winked. Maybe Guruai really is smiling on you today.
Then we best make her proud.
Ashanti's eyes lit up hungrily as she smiled and looked back at me.
Take me as hard as you can, Draco Rex.
Are you sure? I don't want to overdo it, especially since it's your first...
As hard as you can.
Ashanti's eyes narrowed.
I can take it if you can.
Challenge accepted. I pulled myself all the way out of the woman's tight, delicate pussy, and then thrust my hips forward with the intensity of a charging rhino. The sound of my pelvis slapping against Ashanti rang out as her ass jiggled intensely, and she let out a gasp. I repeated the motion some more, and Ashanti's entire body tensed up with carnal joy.
Hard enough for you?
I growled as I continued to plow the woman from behind.
Yes!
Ashanti sputtered, though I wasn't sure if that was an answer or just her reaction to my motions. I continued to thrust in and out of the Chera woman for several minutes, until I felt the warm coil in my stomach begin to tighten up. At the same time, I could tell Ashanti was nearing the mountaintop. The woman arched her back and dug her hands into the wood of the fallen log as her moans grew more hurried and closer together. Her pussy spasmed around my cock like it was having a seizure, and I had to use every fiber of my being to keep from unloading into her right then and there.
Do you like it?
I growled as I leaned in and whispered into Ashanti's ear.
Because I fucking love it.
My dirty talk was apparently the final straw, because Ashanti's entire body went rigid.
Oh, Draco Rex!
Ashanti screamed as she arched her back and gripped the log. The Chera woman's pussy squeezed me like a tube of toothpaste as she let loose the sound of her ecstasy, and I just about lost it. However, I was able to hold my orgasm back. There was still a lot of work that needed to be done.
Sounds like you had a good time,
I mused as I slid my cock out of Ashanti, and my shaft glistened with her copious juices.
What?
Ashanti panted as she raised her head into the air.
We're not done, are we? You didn't reach your climax yet.
Oh, don't worry about that. There's still plenty of time, because we're nowhere near done.
Do you want me to stay like this?
The three-horned rhino woman looked back over her shoulder.
My legs are a bit weak, but...
No, I commanded as I motioned for her to turn around. This time I want to look you in the eyes.
But this is the most natural way to mate.
Ashanti argued with a bit of confusion in her voice.
The legend of Guruai says that...
This isn't Guruai's story. I cut her off. It's ours, and I want to see all of you before we're done. Ashanti's mouth twisted into a satisfied smirk as she raised one eyebrow. The Chero woman wasn't used to being bossed around, but I suspected in this case she was starting to get used to it because she straightened up, turned around, and stared deeply into me with her beautiful brown eyes. I wrapped one hand around the back of her head as I pulled her in close and pressed my lips against hers. Ashanti's kiss was as sweet as morning dew as our tongues explored each other's mouths, and I slowly slid my free hand up to the strap of her top. It unfastened with a few simple tugs, and the fabric fell away from her chest. I stopped for just a brief second so I could pull back and marvel at Ashanti's naked body, and it did not disappoint. Her breasts were not very large, though they were still perky and full. Ashanti's nipples stood erect on her beautiful little A-cups, and the nubs were dark gray and pointed like a sharpened pencil against her light gray flesh. Ashanti's hand drifted downward and wrapped around my cock, which was now harder than fucking granite. Then the woman began to stroke me softly as I leaned in and nibbled on her neck and shoulders, and all while I rubbed her nipples with my free hand. I kissed down the Chero woman's body until I got to her delicate nipples, which I each gave a soft suck and a lick. Ashanti moaned in response, and I knew she was ready for round two, so I made my move. In one fell swoop, I picked up Ashanti, placed her ass against the edge of the tree, and then positioned myself outside her tight tunnel. She was at the perfect height at the moment, so it took no effort for me to slide myself right back inside of her warm entrance.
"Oh, God!"
she gasped as my cock moved deeper and deeper into her pussy. Oh, you feel incredible!" I growled before I leaned in and started to kiss Ashanti, while at the same time I resumed with my rhythmic thrusts. The rhino woman let out a few hurried, muffled moans against my lips as I pleasured her, and her body now seemed to quiver in my grasp. So I did what any rational person would do in this situation. I slowed my motions down to a crawl. The coil in my stomach was wound so tightly it could spring up to space, and I knew I wasn't going to last much longer. Still, I wanted to make sure my lover got off one more time, so I used every inch of my willpower to hold back.
"You like that?"
I asked, as I ground in and out of Ashanti slowly.
Yes,
she moaned, without opening her eyes.
I love it. Feels like you're splitting me in two.
I continued on with these thrusts for quite some time, and I was so in the moment I didn't know if we'd been making love for minutes or hours. All I knew was Ashanti and I were tied together in the dance of passion, and we were quickly coming to the grand finale. Suddenly, Ashanti pulled back from my kiss and threw her head back. Her mouth fell open as she let her pleasure wash over her, and then she let out a long, growl-like moan.
Sounds like somebody's about to get their second wind,
I teased, and then I pushed myself back into her once again. This time, Ashanti went over the edge.
Ben!
She screamed as her entire body trembled. Ashanti's tight tunnel contracted around me like a vice as she let out repeated moans in rapid succession, and that was all it took to send me over the edge.
Oh, fuck!
I gasped as the coil finally snapped. Ecstasy rushed through my entire body from head to toe as my balls tightened. I continued to hold back until I absolutely physically couldn't anymore, and when I finally released, it was one of the greatest feelings of my entire life. My vision tunneled as I grabbed onto Ashanti, shoved myself as deep into her as I could go, and unloaded my seed into her womb like a fire hose. I felt faint as gallon after gallon of semen gushed out of my cock and into Ashanti, to the point where it was oozing through her labia before I could even pull out. When my balls finally slowed their assault and the pure wave of carnal joy had ceased, I collapsed onto Ashanti's chest like a rag doll.
Holy shit, that was amazing.
It really was.
The Chero woman purred as she ran her hand through my brown locks.
Girl, I truly smiled down on me today. I can feel your copious amount of seed warm and deep inside of me.
I think she's been looking down on me pretty good lately, too. I chuckled as I stood up and slid myself out of Ashanti.
Shall I lay down?
The three-horned rhino woman questioned, and she reached down and cupped her pussy before my cum could leak out.
That'll increase my chances of pregnancy, no?
I don't think you'll need it, I hypothesized. I think I just put a frickin' semi-tank full of my seed into you. But, yeah, I want to hang out here for a minute before we head back.
I don't think I could walk back right now if I wanted to,
Ashanti admitted.
My legs feel quite weak.
What are you complaining about? I teased,
and then I kissed her softly on the forehead. I'm the one who did most of the hard work.
Oh, I'm gonna bear your child, Draco Rex.
The three-horned cherub woman mused as she patted her belly.
I think it's only fair that you do the hard work up front.
Fair enough. I laughed as I walked over to my pants, tugged them back around my waist, and then sat down next to Ashanti on the log. I wrapped my arm around the cherub woman and pulled her head onto my left shoulder.
Thank you for blessing me, Draco Rex.
She nuzzled against me, and we both stared off into the forest as we took in all the beautiful sights and sounds of this strange island. So, I gotta ask you this. I chuckled as I finally broke the silence. What do you think our kid is gonna look like? I know all the ones I've had with the Nirilope and Kudag women have been a mixture of our two species, but Batari and I have a bet as to what ours will look like. Ashanti pondered as she rubbed her chin.
I think it'll have horns, for sure. I'm not sure about its skin tone, though, or if it'll have scales at all.
What about the hair? Is it going to get its mom's beautiful black locks, or the full wave of brown like its father?
My hair is hardly beautiful, that's why I keep it so short.
Well, it's beautiful to me, I reminded her, as I ran my fingers across it. You took something that wouldn't work for most people and totally pulled it off.
You think so?
Ashanti asked, and there was a hopeful yet self-conscious glint in her eyes as she ran her hand over the shorn part of her scalp.
I always thought it was a more practical choice.
Seriously, could you imagine Mira or Lazan with your haircut? It would just look strange, to say the least.
What a strange thought.
Ashanti shuddered with a smile, and we shared a chuckle at the thought of the warrior women with shaved heads. Time seemed to pass too quickly as we chatted about our child's looks, as well as how the Chero pregnancy might play out and how our kid would be raised. Unfortunately, I could see the sun was moving across the sky to the western horizon, and I knew we should be getting back. It's going to be dark in the next few hours. We should probably go and see what everybody else is up to. Besides, they're probably all worried about us.
Oh, I'm sure they knew what we were doing. If anything, they'll celebrate our return.
The two of us got dressed and then headed out of the forest, and we sauntered down the white sands of the beach arm in arm until we arrived back at our makeshift camp. Tyrion, Saren, and Swaer were all engaged in a game that had been drawn in the sand, while the rest of the crew sat around the fire chatting away. Then there was Bungal, who hovered above the ocean and stared off into the distance. You okay there, Bungal?
Oh, it's just so beautiful. I have seen many beaches in my day, Benjamin, but this one is perhaps the greatest.
Good to know. I laughed, and then we moved toward the rest of the crew.
Ah, there they are, Jonas announced when he saw us approaching. We were about to assemble a search party and go looking for you. We thought perhaps the goblins had come out of the woodworks and snatched you up.
I appreciate the concern, I smirked. But we're all fine. Even if a bunch of goblins had attacked us, I'm sure the two of us could have fought them off with ease.
I wouldn't be so sure about that,
Valea's voice interjected.
It seems our new adversaries are more clever than they appear.
Pei sighed. What are you talking about? I raised an eyebrow at the spindrel women. Did you guys find something with the death sprayer?
We did, all right. Ben, it's not native to this island.
Okay. I was now a bit confused. Why is that such a big deal? We knew that was a possibility.
It's not native to any island, Draco Rex.
The blonde hedgehog woman continued.
Even though we couldn't find it on this island, we found two types of plants with similar characteristics. Which means the goblins created this plant from scratch.
Shala growled.
They single-handedly created a plant that wiped out our entire population. Chemical weapon.
Alvi confirmed.
Completely natural and easy to hide.
Holy shit. If this was true, it meant the goblins had created a weapon more insidious and deadly than any dragons the orcs could get their hands on. And that was just the one plant we knew of. If the goblins had really been here for a while, experimenting on all sorts of crossbreeding and chemicals, who knew what other deadly inventions they'd come up with? We needed to find out, and we needed to find out as quickly as fucking possible. These little gray bastards had the ability to shift the entire tide of the war in the orcs' favor, and I wasn't about to let that happen.